Well, if you have your Bible this morning, would you turn to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24 with me. First book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24. The Lord is good. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's working. Thank God. Matthew 24. Y'all want to do your confession? You don't have to, if it's but if you do, would you join me? If you have your Bible, and I invite you to join in, and let's confess it, because we really do believe it, that God speak to us through His Word by His Spirit today. All right? You ready? That's all right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, and this is a section of Scripture where the disciples ask Jesus about His return. He says this in verse 3, Matthew 24, 3, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately because He had told them that that temple would be destroyed, every stone of the temple building would be overturned and so forth. And the disciples came to Him and they said, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Before I even read these verses, I want to emphasize that no human knows the day or the hour of our Lord's return. No one knows. And in fact, every generation since Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago can apply them. God, you know, prophecy is not just for the end time, it's for all time. It has relevance for us, but certainly we can believe the words of Jesus and live by them today as well. And we can see how we can apply them in our own day and to our own lives personally. So let's pick up in verse 4 then. Jesus answers them and He says, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, that means the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. That word, you've heard me say it before if you've been here, it's ethnos, for ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. And there'll be kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines, pestilences, we've seen that. The earthquakes in various places, and someone will say, but Brother Rocky, those things have gone on. I know. But as we get closer to the time of the Lord's return, they'll increase in frequency and intensity, because He compares it to a woman who's pregnant. And as she gets nearer to the time of her birth, of the delivery of the child, then those birth pangs increase and become sharper. They increase in both severity and occasion. So He goes on, then He says this in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows, literally means, and some of your translations may say, birth pains. So you just see the context of it there. Then verse 9, they will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended, will betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Let's pause there just a second. Wow, isn't that, I read those words and it grieves my heart that this is a sad state of humanity in rebellion to God. And this is what happens when, if we reject God and His love and His word and His will. You know, He talks about, in fact, three times here, or actually maybe it's four, Jesus said, deception, deceive, deceive, deceive. I shared recently with the worship team that I really believe the pattern here is in order for Satan to, his schemes are to steal, kill, and destroy. But in order for him to do that, he has to deceive us first. So if he can deceive us, then he can bear all that evil fruit that we read about. So this is just the kind of like the surface. This is the manifestation of people who reject the Lord and who reject the authority of his word. And I'll be honest, maybe some of you can relate. Just the reality of our condition, the state we're in, can be disheartening. I mean, I look at us, see it, it's like, man. And you know, something of this occasion can even trigger our bodies. God designed our bodies to have what's called a fight or flight response. And we can either go to one extreme and just almost like rise up, if you know, like we want to get into a physical altercation, or we can say, I'm moving. I'm going to Montana. I'm about, you know. But that's not really the answer. And the Lord calls us not to run, not to hide. He informs us so that we are aware. But he wants us to live a certain way. And that's why he says this in verse 13. If you just pick up right there. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Today the message is we need endurance. We need endurance. We need endurance. And the word endurance, if you read scripture again, is translated maybe different ways. Sometimes it's translated endurance. Sometimes it's translated perseverance or patience. But it's the same word in the Greek. When Jesus said, but he who endures, that's a verb. The scripture also says you have need of endurance. You'll see that. It's a noun, but it's the same root. Here's what it means. To stand firm. Endurance means to stand firm. I want to run. I want to stand firm. We need endurance. Would you say that with me? We need endurance. And so Jesus gives us all of these scriptures here, and he says that the reason we need endurance is not just, well, I'm going to try to hold on and hang out till you come get me, Lord, and rescue me. No, he calls us to walk in victory. He calls us to represent him and what he has done. The reason that any of us can endure is because Jesus endured for us. He's already opened the way. So the scripture says, he goes on, one more verse, verse 14. He says, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. That's every ethnic group. And then the end will come. We need endurance because we need endurance to follow Jesus faithfully. That's what he's called us to do. We overcome evil with good. We need endurance to share the good news because the devil will want to muzzle us and to keep us silent. It's not getting up in your face or threatening or anything like that. It's simply sharing good news. Because we are ambassadors for the Lord and seeking to follow him. We need endurance. And I'm going to emphasize just three truths here real quick of just how we can build endurance in our lives. And I want to read you a few verses from the book of 2 Thessalonians before I do, because it really hits in with that theme of deception, especially deception in the last times or in the last days. And I'm going to read it. We'll have the words on the screen because I'm reading a little different translation. It's the English Standard Version. It says in this, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. Did I give you that scripture? I hope I did. All right, okay. It says, let no one deceive you in any way. For that day, talking about the day of the Lord, will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. And then we drop down to verse 7. He says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." That was 2,000 years ago. "Only he who now restrains it will do so until he's out of the way." The Holy Spirit is restraining the devil from going so far. Aren't you glad? Because if he had free reign, I wouldn't want to be anywhere where he could just do what he wants. And he says that he's going to restrain until the time the Lord determines. And he says, "Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming." The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. May the Lord help us to love truth, to love truth. Love it when it blesses, love it when it cuts, love it when it heals, love it when it gets us in line, love truth. And then he says, "Therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." If we reject truth, all that's left is deception, a lie, falsity. If we reject light, all that's left is darkness. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me? Hebrews chapter 10. And today I want to just take the time that we have now and really focus on how do we build endurance? If we need endurance, how do we build it? We have, I just know a man here in the church who is a runner. And I remember him telling me, maybe, I don't know how long ago it was, that something just triggered within him. I don't know if it was like a health issue or just something. He decided he was going to start, doing a little exercise or doing something like that. And so he started to run. And now he runs all the time, basically. But you can rest assured, he didn't start off years ago running what he runs now. He had to build up his endurance. And in fact, a few years ago, he actually ran in the Boston Marathon. And so he had to, again, you don't go from zero to Boston Marathon in a relatively short time. At least I hope you don't. You better go to the doctor first. They don't need to call out the paramedics. But with wisdom, and now his body has been conditioned. But we can build up our spiritual endurance too. Just like we can build physical endurance, we can build spiritual endurance. Some of you can relate to this. Some of you can say, "I've been through some things that at one time I didn't think I could live through. But now I've gone through them, but the Lord prepared me along the way. It wasn't wasted. The Lord was preparing, and He is even preparing us now for days to come." So we need endurance. And I could summarize it in three words. How do we build up our spiritual endurance? Feed, fellowship, and focus. Three words: feed, fellowship, and focus. Would you say that with me? Feed, fellowship, and focus. Now let's take a moment and look at each one. First, feed. Feed my faith. How do I build my spiritual endurance? How do I build up my perseverance? How can I build up that, what I need? I call it stick-to-itiveness. How can I build that up so that in those moments when I want to quit and I want to throw in the towel, I want to run, how can I just stand firm? Well, I've got to feed my faith. I said feed my F-A-I-T-H, faith. Not my face. You do that in a little bit, all right? Feed my faith. But just like our bodies, well, in fact, this brother running, he can't just sit around and eat Twinkies or Ho-Hos or whatever's out, all day long and never change up. He's got to get a little something in to build up the endurance. And then he's got to actually not just eat, he's got to go out and put on the tennis shoes and get outside or treadmill, wherever he's going to run a little bit. And it's the same thing. Brothers and sisters, our faith needs the good nutrition of God's Word. We need to feed our faith, and then we exercise our faith by doing what God tells us in His Word. And that's how we build up our spiritual endurance. That's so many times when the temptation comes. The temptation comes with, oh, I know what I'm supposed to do, but it's actually doing it. But if our, in fact, please don't say anything out loud, okay? I'm just for you to think between you and the Lord. Is your spiritual endurance low? And then if it is, I want to encourage you that you can build it up. You can build up your spiritual endurance. So I would ask you this, what scripture are you eating? What do you mean by that? You know, the Bible on a couple of occasions, actually several, relates God's word to food. Didn't Jesus say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Job said, I found your words, or Jeremiah, I found your words and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So feeding my faith, I've got to feed my faith with that good nutrition of God's word. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. That's the script. We have need of endurance. For you have need of endurance. Why? So that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. How many of you have noticed that the promise doesn't always come right away? If you've been saved more than like a day or so, you probably realize, hey, there's a time lapse between what I see here in God's word and what I believe He's promised me and the fulfillment of that promise. But in order to get to that promise, I need endurance. So I've got to feed my faith. We need endurance. And then he goes on, he says this, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are those who believe to the saving of the soul. We believe by God's grace we endure. By faith in God and His word, we endure. Faith, feed my faith. I'm building up my endurance. So God doesn't want us to run and hide. We're not defeated. We're not giving up. We overcome evil with good. Jesus is the conqueror, and He's made us more than conquerors. He won the ultimate victory, and He gives us victory. So it's by God's grace we endure. Is God's light greater than sin's darkness? Then He calls us to shine. Endure, to feed my faith. So I need to feed my faith so that when my faith is tested and when my endurance is tested, I didn't say if, our endurance will be tested. And when it is, I need to feed my faith. I need to feed that nutrition of God's word into my spirit so that I'm ready when the endurance test comes and I can stand firm. To endure. Feed my faith. Would you say that with me? Feed my faith. Number two. In fact, I'm sorry, before I give you that one, I want to read these scripture again. We'll put it on the screen because it's a different translation. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. If that was all he said, I couldn't hardly link those two together. Hey, man, you going through a hard time? Thank God. Rejoice. That's not our typical response, is it? Even as believers, let's be honest, isn't our first response sometimes, whatever, complain, give up, throw in, whatever it may be? And this is why we need endurance. So he says, hey, it's an opportunity for great joy. But he continues in verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Wow. There's the exercise. But do you see why we need the nutrition? We got to have something to pull from when the test comes. But then that's how our endurance grows. So he says, this is a chance for your endurance to grow. So let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect. That word means mature. It doesn't mean we're like sinless and we've arrived. It just means we're mature, we're full grown, and you'll be complete, needing nothing. We need endurance. Would you say, feed my faith?
Feed my faith.
And then number 2, I want to read these scriptures again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Feed my faith, fellowship with believers. So feed, fellowship, focus. Feed, fellowship, focus. Feed my faith. How do I build my endurance? I get God's word in me. In fact, it doesn't mean like, oh, I read my chapter this morning and I closed it, gave myself a check mark, and I don't remember anything I said. How do you eat? What scripture are you eating? We're all thinking about something, and we're all speaking something anyway. Let's think about God's word, and let's speak about God's word enough to build our faith. So when I talk about feeding on a scripture, what I'm saying is maybe take that scripture and just maybe write it down, put it in your phone or whatever you need to do, and think about it and talk about it and pray it and sing it and confess it. Confess it. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith we read. So let us hold fast. Keep confessing. That's how faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we confess it and we build our faith. We pray it. We sing it. And then it's even helpful to discuss it. Get with other brothers and sisters and talk about, man, I believe the Lord was showing me this in the word, and I believe he gave me this scripture. That's why we need the fellowship, fellowship with believers. Now, everyone believes something. I'm talking about fellowship with believers who want to grow in Christ, and fellowship with believers who, they will inspire you to grow, and they'll challenge you, but then we got to do the same thing for them, right? We inspire them. We challenge them. So he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And the reason is then the verse before, so we can stir up one another to love and good works. He says to consider one another. Let us consider one another. The Lord calls every one of us who know him to be a functioning member of his body. A functioning member. Now, I've heard it said, and I would agree, that someone say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Okay, that's true. But we may be able to survive in isolation, but I can just as equally say we cannot thrive and fulfill God's full purpose for our lives separated from the body of Christ, isolated from the body of Christ. We need each other. We need each other in order to grow. We need each other in order to endure the trying, tough times that we all face. I know that many of you can relate to saying, I'm so thankful. I've been through some seasons in my life, and I'm so thankful that I had a family of faith to go through with me. I'm so thankful that I was not alone in the world going through the trying of my faith. Thank God. We need each other. We need each other to really thrive and fulfill God's purpose and destiny in our lives. Survive, yes. Thrive, no. We need to fellowship with believers if we want to reach our God-ordained, just our full potential. One translation of verse 25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. One translation says, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do. And that the purpose is not just, I'm gonna come down here a second, all right? In fact, let me get right here. Maybe you can still see me. I don't know if you can or not. Anyway, you get the idea. How about right here? All right. Okay. That feels good, y'all. All right. I'm in church, so here I am. Thank God, I've done my religious duty. I wanted to sleep in this morning. This is not necessarily fulfilling my religious duty before the Lord. See, not forsaken means more than just being a passive spectator. And I believe in our culture, we have made church kind of like just the show. And people show up almost like we show up to watch a play or a movie, and I put my, you know, I grab my snag or whatever and put my money, and I just go in and entertain me, and I'll give you a rating when you're done of how well you did, and then I'll be on my way. If I like it, I might come back. Now, obviously, you're here. I'm just talking about a mentality that seems to have pervaded the church in America here in the States. No, it's not. We're family. And when we come together, it's not just about being a spectator, it's about being a participant. Fellowship means sharing. And so we're sharing together. Someone said a joy shared is twice the joy, and a burden shared is half the burden. So it's togetherness. So we have an opportunity not just to come see. I wouldn't just come see me perform. I'm not the star. I'm the servant here. Jesus is the star. He's the attraction. And so we come in. You're not just clapping for me. We're worshiping Jesus. And we're giving Him glory. And we're here to be a blessing to one another. Brothers and sisters, we can't fulfill the one another commandments like stir up love and good works being isolated from our faith family. But the thing is, when we fulfill those one another commands, we love one another and pray for one another and encourage one another and all of those, the word of God to us, we all benefit. Everyone receives the blessing. Because when one part of the body is strengthened, we're all strengthened. And we're all blessed. Do you see how it's like when we're going through that tough time, we lean on one another because we need that endurance. So I'm not the one on the receiving end all the time, nor am I the one on the giving all of the time. I have a place to sit down and receive from others too. Well, I thank God that the brother said amen. Y'all could all said it. I wouldn't have been offended. It's fine. I need it. None of us have arrived. Feed, fellowship, focus. Feed, fellowship, focus. How do we build endurance? I got to feed my faith. I've got a fellowship with you, my brothers and sisters, and then I need to focus on Jesus. When it all comes down to it, in fact, I believe we could accurately sum up the Christian life like this. The Christian life begins when God's Holy Spirit draws us to believe in Jesus as our crucified and risen Lord. And then we grow as we stay in close fellowship with Him. That's really what we've got to be born of God's Spirit. And then if we want to live just our lives for the Lord and bear full fruit, we've got to stay in close fellowship with Him. And we stay in close fellowship with Him, like we say in our purpose statement and our priorities. We stay in close fellowship with the Lord by prayer, by worship. If you've come for any length of time here, attended services, or you've watched, I've said before on a number of occasions, I thank God for a time to worship because it can help me get my focus back on Jesus. He says, we worship The Scripture helps us. We fellowship in Scripture. It's not just I read my Scripture, I'm done. No, we fellowship with Scripture. We fellowship, we stay close to the Lord by fellowship with one another and even testifying of our faith. The Bible says this in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. I'll close. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all of those whose lives are examples to us that he recorded there in chapter 11, and those who are still with us to this day. He said, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? With endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That Greek word means to fix one's eyes. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who begins it. He's the one who completes it. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Wow. He endured the cross. He, even though he despised the shame, and he said for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Wow. Brothers and sisters, if we become distracted in our walk with the Lord, we will open ourselves up to growing weary and being discouraged. Remember Martha? Mary and Martha? Jesus was over there one day for the meal, and Jesus was sharing the word. And Martha was, she loved the Lord, but Mary at that moment was doing the right thing. She was sitting down with Jesus and just fellowshipping with the Lord. Martha, the Bible says, was distracted with much serving. And as she's, have you ever done that before? Have you ever been doing something like you're working and somebody else is kind of like taking it easy and watching it? Doesn't it get on your nerves? No, I'm serious. Really? Doesn't it? I mean, I can relate to Martha. And so she went to Jesus. She said, Lord, don't you care that she's leaving me? I'm the only one serving you here. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Now, she became worried and troubled because she was distracted from Jesus. And even a good, legitimate thing like serving can distract us if we allow it to crowd Jesus out of our schedule and our time with him. And so he said, Mary's chosen that good part, and right now that's the one thing that's needed, and I'm not taking that from her. Remember Peter, during the storm, the disciples are out there. This is at night, and it's dark, and it's stormy, and they think their lives may be in danger, and they couldn't call the Coast Guard. And they see what they thought was a spirit walking on the water. And they're scared. These grown men, these fishermen, they're afraid. And Jesus said, hey, don't be scared of me. And Peter, the spokesman for the group, said, if that's really you, tell me to come out to you. Come on. He got out of the boat, and Peter walked on water, at least for a little bit. And then the Bible says that the storm took his focus from Jesus. And when he focused on the storm, he began to sink. Lord, save me. I got you. Oh, you of little faith. And I can just sense it in my spirit that sometimes just going through life, maybe we're so busy and we don't have time and we're getting weary and discouraged in our souls and we need to get that endurance built back up. Or maybe we're going through such a trying time and it's dark and it's stormy and I don't understand and now my focus has completely shifted and I'm not looking and focused on the Lord. My focus is on the storm, and I feel like my endurance is slow, so low, I don't think I can carry on another day. And the solution is feed my faith, fellowship with believers, and focus on Jesus. There's something about getting our focus back onto Jesus, because Jesus inspires endurance. He endured too much for us to be of His Spirit and quit. His Spirit within us will enable us. We will stand. We will endure by God's grace. Our part is to do what the Scripture says. Feed our faith, fellowship with believers, and just keep focusing on Jesus. Maybe you'll even consider that this week. If I were to ask you, what Scripture will you feed on? Maybe you'll even think, maybe this would be a good one for you. I'm going to run my race with endurance by looking unto Jesus. And just tell yourself that about 80,000 times this week. Whatever you need to get it into your spirit. Get that into your heart. I hope next week you'll let me know what you ate this week. Who will you fellowship with this week? Is there someone you can reach out to? Maybe you can call. Maybe you could send them a text. Maybe someone you could see in person. I don't know your relation schedule. And is there someone here today who just simply says, Brother Rocky, I know I need to refocus right now on Jesus. Maybe that's you today. Whatever that need may be, I want to pray for you. So can we just join our hearts together in prayer as we stand together? I'll invite the worship team to come back up.